what I did is took the top three sermons for the year. I'll do the announcements at the end of service here. And the second one that was picked was late bloomers. And today I want to talk about a subject that late bloomers, that we all, if you are a late bloomer, you deal with this. People who it takes us a minute to get it. I tell you, I pray for my mind all the time. I could be a little slow. It takes me a minute to get things. Anybody, it takes you a minute, and then you find like, oh, I see what you're saying, God, or like, oh, that's what they were saying. It's a late bloomer. But many times, late bloomers, we have this question of God, why did you let me fail? Anybody ever gone through something and you wonder, God, why didn't you stop me in the middle of that? Why did you tell me after I dated them? Why didn't you tell me after I chose to do that? Why? And then you get mad, not at God, but even the people around you. Why didn't you tell me? Y'all never been there before, right? Sometimes God will let you fail to prove himself to you. I remember sitting, I went to University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and I remember sitting, and I had a Dean's Merit Minority Scholarship, and I remember sitting in that room with a bunch of other students, who the majority of them were from West Tennessee, Memphis, and I was the only one probably from a small city there. And I remember sitting in the room, and they said, to keep your scholarship, you got to keep a 3.0. Well, as soon as they said that, I checked out. I ain't never had a problem keeping a 3.0. You talking to everybody in this room but me. And so I checked out, and they were talking and said, people sit in this room every year. They sit in this room every year. We tell them this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And people lose this scholarship every year. I did not listen. First semester had a 2.9. I was all right. I was like many of you, I said, you know, I'm not a procrastinator. I just work better under pressure. You call pushing out, I'm working better under pressure. So I'm gonna pull it up this second semester. Well, it didn't happen. Did not pull it up. I had to go to the Dean of Minority Affairs, knocked on his door, and I said, I need to get my scholarship back. And he said, I remember you. I said, you do. He said, you slumped down in your chair when we were talking. You checked out. If I had the cell phone back in the day, I'd have been on Instagram. I'd have been on Twitter. I'd have been on something. But I just zoned out because he was not talking to me. And I looked back at him and said, why didn't you tell me to sit up? Why didn't you put me in your office? You're supposed to be the big mentor around here. Why don't you pull me in and tell me to do this and do that? And the reality is, he said it wouldn't have worked. Sometimes we have to go through stuff. Some of us have to learn the hard way. Anybody in here that have to learn yet? Children, y'all real quiet this morning. And I looked at him and said, why did you let me fail? Like he took one of my classes. Like he slept in and missed one of them. There are times that God will let you experience things. He does things to test the same way. And I want to tell you, there are some tests coming. And you may not pass all of them. But here is the good news. You ain't passed all of them you've been through before now. And you're still here. Anybody be honest and say you failed some stuff in life? There have been some relationships in your life that didn't work out. There have been some things in your life that didn't work out. But God still brought you through. Can we give God a little praise right there for bringing us through? You can legit not make it in some areas. But that has nothing to do with your destiny. It has everything to do with your decisions. You can study. Here's the main point of the day. You can study, you can learn, and you can pass a class, a test with God. Or, here's the thing many of us have been through with God, you can fail, still learn. And here's the thing about God, he'll still let you pass. Ask me how I know. There's some stuff that I've been through that I have learned more from my failures than I have from my success. Be honest with you, how many of y'all took some class you made A's in and you have no idea what they taught in that class because you studied for the test? But I remember my failures. Marcus, I remember messing up. I ain't never seen a step show messed up. I messed up my probate. I remember getting it, but I'll never forget that step that I set off wrong, Alvarez. They wouldn't have put me in the cut. I'll never forget my failures. The thing in this room right here, many of us, Satan wants you to go in shame. He wants you to go in hiding because this relationship didn't work out and you're afraid to really step out and do what God's calling you to do. But later for that, you can fail, but in God, you fail forward. Here's the only thing about God passing you when you fail. You get to the same place. The only difference is time is a little different. And there is some pain that you go through as a result of going the long way with God. But here's the good news. You are going to get there. Today I'm going to tell you about a guy who was a late bloomer in the Bible. His name was Peter. And Peter messed up. He did some crazy things, but we're going to see what God did in his life. And some of us are going to have some Peter experiences in the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Can y'all talk back to me in here? Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. It says this, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, Peter, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. Doesn't that sound like a lot of friends? I got you until it's time to get you. Lord, I'm with you. I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times. Let me start by giving you some failure principles that we learn from this scripture right here. Number one, you don't have to fail. Somebody said, I don't have to fail. Say, failure is a choice. And it's not a must to learn the lesson. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Can I take you back to your childhood days? How many kickball players do I have in here? Yeah, yeah. Wilkie in the back, he always had the biggest shoe of all of us. And, you know, you're growing up, you got those special shoes that make you run fast, make you jump high, make you kick far. And how many never wanted to be picked last on the kickball team? It was a travesty to be picked last on the kickball team. Do you realize this, that Satan picked Peter? There are some tests that you go through that God did not design. There are some tests that you have been picked out to be picked on by the enemy. Because watch this, nobody breaks in a house that has nothing in it. There is something of such value in your life that Satan says, I want them because of the devastation they're going to do to my kingdom. I want to let some of you know in here that some of the stuff you're going through, that Satan is trying to destroy you. But he has no more power than what God allows to happen in your life. You don't have to fail in this, but if you do, there is a God who will rescue you. Can I look at your neighbor and say, you're going to be tested. Now, I didn't tell you that for you to get nervous. Oh, God, a test is going to come. A test came last week. A test came the year before that, and you're still here. It did not destroy you. It did not kill you, and you're better as a result of that test. You are going to be tested next year. 2020 is going to come, and you got great resolutions, but you're going to be tested. Some of y'all are going to be tested when you leave here today because people can't drive. You're going to get cut off in traffic. Somebody's going to be in Walmart taking forever. Your kids are going to do stuff. You're going to suffer a test, but you don't have to fail it. It's a choice of what to do in the moment. The next thing about the test, God doesn't make you fail. He lets you fail, but he's always there to rescue you. He said, I pray for you that your faith fail you not. One of the things that I hear people say all the time is that had to happen for me to get to where I am in God. True, but not true. It had to happen for you, but it didn't have to happen. Because some of us don't listen to anybody. And in order for God to get our attention, we had to go through some stuff. What do they say? A soft head make a... Y'all said that. I didn't. There is some stuff that God allows us to go through to get our attention, but he is always there to rescue us. I was reading about, there's a legend about the Cherokee Indian tribe, that in order for the young boys to go to manhood, there's a rite of passage. Well, they take the young boys, blindfold them, take them out into the woods, and set them on a stump. And their command to them is, do not take this blindfold off. Do not stand up. Do not move. While they're sitting, and they have to stay all night until the sun breaks. While they are sitting there, they hear all kind of wild animals. They hear things moving beside them. But their rite of passages to manhood is, do not move. If those of them that make it, when the sun rises, they take the blindfold off and they recognize that the Father has been in sight the entire time watching over them. It's the same way with God. You can't see him in your test, but he's right there in the middle of it. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. God, where were you when I was going through this situation? Where were you when they were betraying me? Where were you when I lost my loved one? Where were you when I went through the divorce? Where were you when my business failed? He said I was right there in the middle of it. Can I stop you for a minute? Do you think you had the strength to walk yourself through what you went through? Your human strength couldn't take you through that moment. Your human strength couldn't take you through that heartbreak. It was God that walked you through that moment. It was God that carried you. That's why we say to God be the glory for the things that he has done. So God doesn't make you fail. He lets you fail, but he's always there to rescue you. Another thing I learned about failure is this. It's right from the scripture. Failure is a path, not a destination. It's the long cut to your destiny. Look what it said in scripture. He said, and you, once you have turned again. Ladies, do you have husbands that drive you, that you drive around, they normally like to drive? How many times have you seen us get lost and not listen to you? And say, I got this, I know where I'm going. You're arguing with the GPS and you're turning again. It sounds like somebody who had lost their direction. It sounds like somebody who had lost their way. Somebody in this room, you have lost your way, or somebody in your life has lost their way. I want to tell you, I don't care how long it takes them to get there, they're going to get there in the name of Jesus. Failure is the long cut to your destiny, but watch this. You're going to get to your destiny. Here's what I know about my path. My path is the way I choose to get here. It may not have been the quickest path, but it's the how I got here. So many people, it's their first time here to church. When they come, they get lost on their first time. The GPS couldn't even find this place. I've seen people show up at the end of service and say, Lord, I'd have been here sooner if it had been a little easier to get here. Anybody feel like that with your life? God, why is it not easier to get where I'm going? Here's the thing about God. He will let you fail your way. It sounds crazy, into where you're going in life. You can fail your way into your destiny because you're failing forward. Here's the last principle I love about God is failure is not final. It does not change your destiny. He said, when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. Many of you in this room have gone through stuff, and here's the horrible part about going through with people. They will post your business. There are people who will put your stuff out there. There are people when you get ready to step forward in God, and God may call you to preach and say, I'm going to preach the gospel. No, you ain't. You're not going to preach it. We know your past. We know the stuff that you've done. They will remind you of your failures. They'll look at you trying to be happy in a relationship and remind you of all your former failed relationships. People have a way of not forgetting. Can I tell you this? That's why I tell you, don't tell everybody your business. There's some of your testimony you need to keep between you and God. Well, I'm just keeping it real. While you keeping it real, people are keeping a memory. And they will remind you of stuff that you're battling in your confidence because you told stuff that God ain't even told. Some of you have told stuff on yourself that God said, that's between me and you. If he throws your sins into a sea, never to be remembered again, why do you feel like, I'm not talking about confessing, I'm talking about telling the whole world everything that has transpired in your life. Some stuff just ain't smart. Can I let that sit right there for a moment? There are some stuff because people are human. Y'all, you could tell people, I used to steal. I could steal a radio and leave the music behind. Now you walking in, folks ain't inviting you to their house. They hiding their purse. Child, I was a player. I mean, I could walk in the room and pick out, you know, some of that stuff. And now everybody just insecure. You walk around, be careful talking about them. And now you mad because you done told your business because people are human. Y'all right in here. There's some stuff you keep between you and God. You confess it to him. You confess it to others. But everything don't have to be public knowledge. Failure is not final, and it does not change your destiny. And I want to tell you, those of you in here who are walking in shame because of anything that has ever happened in your life, I want to tell you in here that anything that has ever transpired in your life, that Satan wants to hold it over your head, the devil is a liar. The devil is a week ago when I was in the office, remember I was preaching, Barbara, and the Lord told me to tell you, some of you in here, that the curse was broken. I don't care what has transpired in your life. I don't care the mistakes that you made. You are not just damned to a sentence where you got to pay it for the rest of your life. When I was talking to Barbara, I asked her, could I share this? Barbara shared with you guys that she's had an abortion in her life. When we had our first child, we remember sitting in the office with the doctor, and it was stillborn, and the child was born. I remember her breaking down in tears, and it breaks me to this day. And she said, this happened because I had an abortion. And I said, the devil is a liar. Oh, no, that's not the way God pays people back. People are crazy when they say, I seen somebody see there's a Catholic temple or what building that burned down. And somebody said, that's the way, that's God paying all them priests back for molesting them kids. I'll tell you what, if that's the way God pays people back, I will never ride in your car again. Because all the mess you done, your engine about to blow up midstream going down the road. If that's the way, I ain't never eating none of your food. I'm not walking beside you. If that's how God pays people back, God going to strike you with lightning. Your leg going to lock up. You ain't going to bend it for a week. No, that's not how God works. Somebody in here, you're struggling because I've done some stuff that nobody knows about. Some stuff has transpired in my life. I want to let you know, loosen up in here, failure is not final. You all right in here? Hold your head up. Yes, you made mistakes. Yes, you've committed sin, but there is a Father who forgives us all. And don't let that part of your life rob you of the rest of your life. Move forward in the name of Jesus. But we know all of this. We know failure is not final. We know it's a path. We know it's not a destination. But knowing that, why do we still fail? Because half of it is because we didn't know. Jesus said to Peter, Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will crow until you deny me three times. He told Peter, you're going to fail. What are the characteristics of Peter that Jesus knew about? Peter was a hothead. Peter was overjealous. Peter ran his mouth so much so that Jesus didn't even call him Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. Peter was a cusser. Somebody said, I didn't identify Peter right there. Not only would he cuss, but he cut. He cut a man's ear off that Jesus had to put it back on. He did stuff that was impulsive. You read scripture where Peter just jumped out of a boat. He saw Jesus on the side. The boat could have carried him there. Jesus, he saw him and just jumped out of the boat and started swimming to him. There's some impulsive people in the room. That impulse, you get a feeling, you get an emotion about something, you just jump headlong and you fail at it. But here's the thing about God, he'll let you fail and lift you right up like Peter when he's sinking on the water. And that's the reason Peter failed. Now, there's some reasons that we fail. Now, I left that blank. I know why I fail. But you probably need to ask somebody around you, because sometimes we're not even honest with ourselves. I asked Barbara and some people around me, be honest with me. Tell me, what am I not seeing that I need to see? I heard some stuff I didn't want to hear and some stuff I still don't believe, but it's probably true. I heard stuff like, you won't listen to nobody. You think you always right, because I am. Except when I'm wrong, which doesn't happen very often. The reason why many of us fail is that failure is the only thing that humbles us and get our attention. You don't listen until things fall apart. We're proud. We're always right. And some of you look straight ahead because this is the sum total of your parenting. This is the sum total of your marriage. Some of us are just downright stubborn. Just downright. Y'all look like, what did he say? Downright stubborn. You won't listen to nobody. That's the way you date. That's the way you buy. That's the way you purchase. That's the way you do. It's the way I see it, and I don't see nothing else. God himself cannot change your mind. And stubbornness is one of the biggest things. You won't admit you're wrong or apologize for nothing. Some of us won't apologize. We know what's wrong. We just go fix it and go on with life. But y'all looking at me strange in here. Stubbornness and self-righteousness and all these things cause us to fail. Here's one of the great parts. Here's what can happen as a result of failure that we can see happen that happened with Peter. And we're about to get out of here. The first thing is maturity. Failure matured Peter. It didn't kill him. Failure matured Peter, so if you read your Bible, and I'd love for you to read it, that he was the one that stood up, I would, on the day of Pentecost. No, I tell you why I'd love for you to read your Bible. Because when maturity, I'm not preaching for you to go to Satan and say, Jason said. I'm not preaching for you to say when trouble comes, the pastor said. I want to tell you and explain to you what God said so that you can go see for yourself, because demons don't tremble at the name of Jason. Demons don't tremble at the name of whatever pastor you sit under. Demons don't tremble because your grandmama or your granddaddy said it. Demons tremble because you know it for yourself and you can say in the name of Jesus. Maturity came as a result of what Peter did. He preached on the day of Pentecost. Peter was so bold in what he was that he died. He was hung on a cross. But he said, I'm not worthy to be killed like my Savior. They hung him upside down. He matured to the point that he figured out what he was. And here's the thing about maturity. Maturity causes you to accept the reasons that got you are where you are. Because you got two choices when you go through. You can come out better or you can come out bitter. Some of us come out bitter because we blame people because of what we went through. I could have blamed that guy who saw me slumping down and that thing. I could have blamed my parents. I could have told my parents, neither one of my parents. I went to college and I said, none of y'all understand this or understand that. They got wisdom. I could have blamed them for my failures. I could have blamed that guy, but not one of them took one test for me. Not one of them did one thing for me. I was the one that got myself there. And many times when we're bitter, we get mad with God. Didn't nobody teach me? Now, honestly, you were the worst student there was. If you would have went to the best class, you would not have listened to anybody. And we blame people. And here's the reason. Can I be honest with you? Do you know why many people don't tell us stuff? cuss. Some of us cuss. And not only do we cuss, some of us cut. And people enjoy talking to you. And if they do tell you, you're going to block them on social media. If they do tell you, you're going to delete your number out their phone. If they do tell you, you're not going to talk to them for a month. If they do tell you, they're afraid of the wrath of you that's going to come when they honestly tell you. But maturity says, I don't want to hear this, but come on, let me have it. And those who love you are not going to crucify you with the truth. They're going to be honest and say, I believe in you. You can do this, but this is in your way. Is that all right in here? Here's another thing that happens when you, after failure, you can be humble. Humility causes you to open your eyes and you listen. We are exposed to avenues that we never imagined. When you are humble, the Bible says he exalts the humble. When you humble yourself under the hand of the Almighty God, he will exalt you in due season. Here's what I learned about God. I would rather humble myself than to have God humble me. Because when God humbles you, it's not a pretty picture. But when you will admit, God, I am wrong. You know how does God humbles you? He humbles you by letting you live out where you think you're right and you're really wrong. But he's always there to rescue you, but there's pain and time that is lost in the process. Here's another thing that happens when you go through failure. We get real. We get to the real us. Many of us, and I am very guilty, we live by this image conscious thing. And here's what God told me while I was studying this. When you quit trying to impress, you will start to progress. Many of us, half the stuff we post, half the stuff we do, oh, they ain't going to like this. Who is they? Oh, they really going to be talking now. They're not talking. They got their own problems. We live this image conscious thing where we're doing more not to fail than we are to win. Because I'm so afraid that if people find out that I'm not perfect, they won't treat me the same. Let me tell you something. They already know you're not perfect. You need to figure out who the real you is, and you find out about failure. You know what else you find out who's real in failure? You find out the real people around you. Because when people find out your stuff, they be like, oh, I knew the whole time. Did. And they have their real opinions about you come out. You need somebody who's going to stick with you, who's not run off by your issues, and that are not, they're not intimidated by your success. I told the story of this lady who just passed away. Her name was Darlene, who went to church here. And she had a dog. The dog was named Elrod. And she and I would walk when I was in high school. And the dog would want to walk with us. And she'd say, Elrod, stay on the porch. Elrod wouldn't listen for nothing. We would walk, if you're from Shelbyville, she lived on Derrick Street, we'd walk up to the square, which is the square, is the, I guess, downtown, whatever we call it. We walked around that, and the dog followed us. And one day, this dog got hit by a car. The car came, they didn't just get hit by a car. The dog got knocked up in the air, flipped a few times, and landed on its side. I said, Jesus, that dog should have listened. Oh, my God, what are they going to do about this dog? The dog is dead. The dog was just laying there. She walked over to the dog and said, Elrod, get up. I said, this dog just got flipped. You told the dog to get up. Guess what the dog did? Got up. Dog got up and ran. And she said, go home. Dog walked down the road. And when we got home, dog just sitting there on the porch. You know what I thought? We need some people like that in our lives who will watch us go through, who will watch us get in a horrible situation and say, that's not who you are. Get up from there. Go home to where God called you to be. God can use you right there. That is not who you are. I'm going to stick with you, but I'm not going to let you lay right there. Not going to come to your pity party, and this is not the end of you. Not going to attend your funeral. I'm going to attend your celebration. Get up and go back home. Do you know how easy it would have been for her to go stand over that dog and say, that's what you get. Told you to stay at home in the first place. Stay where you're supposed to be and stuff like this wouldn't happen. How many of us have been through when people remind you what you're going through? When you are going through, you need somebody to stand over you and say, I'm going to pray you through this moment. I'm going to walk you through this tough time. I know it's tough. I know you got yourself here, but you're not going to stay here. Failure is not final. You all right in here? Here's what else you learn about failure. You understand the discipline of God. Many of us confuse the discipline of God and we're nervous because, and I'll just speak for myself. We think he's this angry God with a lightning bolt waiting for you to mess up so he can get you. When you understand the discipline of God, God does not discipline you out of anger. Mama, I think I've said this before, but I want to tell you again. Thank you for all the times when I messed up and you were getting ready to whip me and you said I'm not, because if I whip you right now, I'm going to hurt you. Well, you got real sentimental for a moment, didn't you? What she said is, I understand that if I do it right now, the moment will not be about what you did wrong. It will be about how mad I am at you for doing probably what I told you not to do. So to spare myself of this anger, God never disciplines out of anger. God disciplines to correct an action because he doesn't want to see it repeated. As a matter of fact, if she would have disciplined me out of that crazy moment, I would have been scared of her. Y'all would have seen her to this day go to hug me, and I'm flinching, and I'm just ducking because I don't know what's going to come next. Many of us are scared of God, and he's saying, I love you. Come run to me. God is so good at correction. You ever seen somebody that can tell somebody off and hug them in the next moment? And like, they just told you off, and you still love them? Yes, because they're good at what they do. God, when he disciplines you, is not the way that you think. This guy told, he doesn't go here anymore, he told the story of, he publicly told the story of, he and I were meeting. We were just meeting and talking about the things going on in his life, and he didn't show up one day. And I kept texting him, I kept calling him. I texted his wife, called her, and she didn't show up. And he finally called me back. He said, man, I can't come up there. I said, man, why can't you come up here? He said, I'm drunk. I said, man, why are you drunk? And we talked through, and he finally got to the point where he said, I'll come up here. I didn't even think about it. He drove up here drunk. I could guess I probably could have shit went and got him. The Holy Ghost was with him. But anyway, we sit out there on the front steps of that church. He's drunk on the front steps of the church. We sit out there talking. And when you know, when you're drunk, just stuff just come out, right? So he talking like drunk people talking. We sitting on the front steps, and I figured out why. Here's what happens. When you come down on somebody, you'll never figure out why they do what they do. Man, what made you get drunk? He said, my boss talked to me, and he told all this. He said, and when he said certain things, I didn't see him anymore. I saw my father, and I snapped because my father used to talk to me like I was nothing. My father used to dog cuss me. He used to talk to me crazy. And when that guy did that, I snapped, and because I couldn't do anything, I left and went and got drunk. We'd have never got to that if I'd have judged him harshly. So I said, man, that's all right. I said, hey, let's just come back. Let's go into church, and we're going to go sit in my office. And I opened that front door. He said, where are we going? I said, we walking to the church. He said, I ain't walking through there drunk. I said, what's the difference between the steps and the church? Many of us do God that, oh, no, I'm not coming to church. Can I tell you, if that's how God worked, we wouldn't have no roof on this place right now. We'd be in an open-air building if that's how God dealt with us. That is the time we need to be sitting on the front row. When we're going through, that's not the time to run from God. It is not the time to run from God when you're going through. That's the time to run. Say, Daddy, I messed up. If you don't help me, I'm going to ruin my life. When you understand the discipline of God, you understand he's not doing it out of anger. He's doing it to correct the behavior. You also understand the power of a comeback. Here's the thing about God. Your setback was really a setup for a comeback. And the thing about God, when you come back, is always stronger. God will always, he'll do stuff that will blow your mind, and you'll say, God, I don't know. Can anybody be honest right now and say, you know, you've been through some stuff, and where you living, how you living, and what's going on in your life, you look and say, God, ain't nobody but you doing this in my life. There's nobody, God, nobody but you has this mercy. Nobody but you has this grace. Nobody but you can cover me. That was your comeback. Now, if you think that was something, wait to what God gets ready to do. Here's what else you do. He turns hindsight into foresight after failure. Here's the thing about failure. You can always look back and say, oh, I didn't see that sign. Oh, I should not have ignored that. Oh, that's what God was saying right here. That's why you woke me up. That's why you didn't want it. But all of this stuff is really not good because it's after the fact. And you got the scars. But here's what failure does. Failure now turns hindsight, which is they say it's 2020, into foresight. Before you get into a situation, now that I got some experience, no, I already know. I know where this is headed. I'm going to bow out of this. I'm going to hit on right out right now out of this conversation because I know where this is getting ready to go. I got foresight. No, last time I listened to you, Satan, I talked myself out of my destiny. Last time I listened to you, I ended up in depression. The last time I went here, no, I saw this. There was some stuff that God, Satan meant for evil, but God turns it for your good. He gives you foresight. Because here's the thing about the answer. God wants you to discover it. Not because somebody else said it. Your problems don't even change because somebody else identifies them. I can name your problem. Your parents can name your problem. But until you name your problem, nothing will ever change. The last thing I'm through is this. When you are going through, and it's time to testify, you learn about the power of God. I would love to tell you that I learned about faith because I spent 3 hours in the Word. I would love to tell you that I learned about the power of God because I laid on my face in my closet praying. No, I done made so many mistakes in life that I done had to get out in the middle of woods. I done had to get drive in my car, roll my windows up, cut my radio off, and just scream to God, you got to help me. Your Word says this. And in those moments, anybody in here know this? That's when you learn the miraculous power of God. God has revealed himself to me. How did Peter learn about God? Because he was a cutter. Cut a man's ear off, and Jesus said, I'm a healer. Put the ear back on. Whoa, you can heal? Yes. If you can break it, I can fix it. If you can have it, I can heal it. How did Peter learn about God dealing with his impulses? Because he jumped out and was sinking, and God lifted him up. That's how he learned about it. I've seen God do some great things miraculously. There's some of you in this room who have raised more money in a month than you can make in a year just to save some stuff. And you're saying, Lord, how in the world did I do that? It's the miraculous power of God. It's in those moments you say, God, I don't never want to go back there. It's those testimonies that you have that you really can't share, that God saved you, God rescued you. God, you say, God, I don't know how I got here. You told me not to get here. Y'all look straight ahead at me. I did not listen, but I got myself in this, and I need you to get me out of this. And you're sitting in here today because God covered you, and he walked you out of those moments. Am I talking to anybody in here? Am I talking to anybody in here who's got a testimony behind the testimony? Who's got, you know, they have these untold stories that come out on BET. They talk about these actors, these singers when they come out after their career is over. There's some stuff I want to tell you that will never come out on you. There's some stuff that people will never find out. All they know is God's been good to me. All they know is I don't have a sad story to tell you. But can I encourage you in your situation? If you're in the middle of failure right now, God's power is there to redeem you. Stand to your feet all over the building. Can you bow your head and close your eye for a moment? Somebody in this room, you're in the middle of